Lord, there's nobody else that can meet the needs of a human heart, Lord, except you and your grace and love. Lord, where we've sinned and fallen short, it's your precious blood that makes atonement for us. Lord, when our spirits are drooping, it's your Holy Spirit, Lord, that lifts us up. Lord, when we're in the dark, it's your presence that brings the light. Lord, we're so glad that you're all I want, Lord. Help us to realise that's the real matter about us, Lord. Yes. All the other things, you know, Lord, as you said, we'd have asked for our things to eat, things over our heads, Lord, and so on. But, Lord, we know at the end of the day, Lord, that our security ultimately has got to be in you. Yes. So thank you, Lord, and bless us, and just praise you, Lord. As we come to share together now in your word, I pray, Lord, you'll help us to see and understand the greatness of your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is a chap. I didn't know his face. I looked it up on Wikipedia. I assume it's the correct face, fitting the name. As far as I'm aware, the only ex-Nazi who is buried in Jerusalem. Who is he?
Schindler.
Oscar Schindler is his name. Quite an amazing name. He was a Nazi, member of the Nazi party. He had a factory, and what happened was he employed a lot of Jews. They were cheap at the time. Yeah. But then he found out what was happening to the Jews around him, and he took on more, and he spent his fortune, he was a very, very wealthy man, spent his fortune effectively paying bribes to the SS to keep them off their backs. He bankrupted himself at one stage, and do you know who bailed him out later on? The people he'd rescued. Yeah. How about that? So, he's a real hero. Yes. This morning we're going to be looking at Peter in a moment, but I've got another hero to show you. But one of the things about Peter is that he is a hero. It's just he's a hero with clay feet. But the thing I want us to learn, the lessons perhaps from this morning is, you know what Jesus said to Peter before he denied the Lord? He said, Peter, Satan has asked that he may sift you like wheat, put you through the mill. But I pray for you that your faith won't fail. But what we're going to look at with Peter is really to see some of the methods that Satan uses. We can learn from Peter's problems how Satan operates and be a bit wiser, a bit more smarter perhaps, when he has a go at us. Yeah?
Yes.
So, next hero please. Do you know this chap? He's got a very special friend at Wisbeach. That's William Wilberforce. Yes, William Wilberforce was the parliamentarian who eventually, after a lot of hassle and a lot of hard work, managed to get the anti-slavery bill passed in the British Parliament. His friend at Wisbeach was the guy that did the spade work, all travelling up and down the country and so on. His name was?
Thomas Clarkson.
Thomas Clarkson, that's right. So, another real hero. There are heroes all around. I just picked out a couple. Right, now the next please. And it's this. What characteristic is it about them, those two guys I've mentioned, is that made them heroes? And it was, in a way, they were thinking about other people. You know, when your focus is off yourself, then perhaps we behave a little bit more humanely or whatever. But yeah, that was true of both Clarkson and Oscar Schindler, is that they were people who were thinking about others. And as a result, God used them in an amazing and wonderful way. Right, let's have a look at our next one then. Here we have, we're going to read chapter 22 of Luke. There's Peter for you, at least. That's how an artist thinks Peter looks. So it's Luke chapter 22 and a few verses after there. Verse 54. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. The servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You're also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Very sad incident, isn't it, really? Right, let's have a look at our next picture. Why did Peter fail so badly? Well, of course the devil was having a go at him, I guess, but there are other things we're going to be looking at as well. It was a personal attack by Satan. You know, he'd got Judas, so he thought, well, pick him off one by one, I guess. And Luke, there he is. Peter, I put the little picture there, very sad looking figure. He's been burned up, he's burning, shot down in flames, you could say, poor Peter. So we're going to look at why he failed so badly and perhaps learn some of the things from that. Yep, so next please. So we get to understand the situation. Number one was it was very early in the morning. It was early in the morning, which means that Peter was tired because he hadn't slept. Well, he had a nod. You know, when Jesus was praying, he nodded a bit. Power nap. Shouldn't have been a power nap. Should have had a power prayer at that point. But Peter was tired. Tired. Have you noticed what the devil can do when you're tired? Yes. Right? You're more vulnerable when you're tired. You're not thinking straight. You're sort of giving easier when you're tired. Right? So Peter, he's picking Peter at the right time. Right? He failed a rescue attempt, which means Peter was depressed. He thought he was going to sort Jesus' problems out. Rescue Jesus, get rid of all these opposition and whatever, and he failed. I suspect when you've done something and it's all gone wrong, yeah, you're vulnerable. Yeah, you don't have the positive glow anymore. You've been there. Good. Right. Well, we know what we're talking about. Peter is just in the same boat. Yeah, he's failed. And when you feel a failure, you know you're open to the suggestions of the enemy. Right. Well, you've done this bad, why not really blow it? Yeah, that's the sort of argument he'll use, yeah? And then thirdly, he'd attacked somebody. Remember, he wasn't a very good swordsman. He'd had a go at somebody and chopped their ear off. Jesus had stopped it and healed the man, but I suspect the people that were there took a note of who did it. It couldn't be get-even time for Peter. So he's amongst the soldiers, he's amongst the crowd that were with the high priest gang. Right, so he's in a dangerous situation, and so Peter, if they think people are going to suddenly arrest you or beat you up or something, probably afraid as well. Right, so all those things coming together, ideal ground for Satan to work. Yeah? And what's Satan's intention for Peter? Is to completely crush him. That's the aim. Separate him from Jesus. That's his intention for us, you know? To separate you from the Lord who loves you. So, poor old Peter. Well, there he is. Notice, Satan goes for your weak spots. Right? It's a shame, but it's true. So he did. That's why Jesus says, watch and pray. There's a point. Right, next one, please. Right, I don't know if you can see them. They're coming with their lamps and marching Jesus off. Then, seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. So they've arrested Jesus, they've marched him off into the city, up to the high priest's house. And the question I've got, the Bible doesn't tell us. We're here to surmise. Try and get inside Peter's head and see what's going on there. Why did Peter fall?
Guilty.
Felt guilty, perhaps. Yeah.
Because he won't know what happened.
He wants to know what's going to happen. I think that's curiosity. Part of it, perhaps, yeah, right, but he wants to be near Jesus. I think the other thing is, in spite of that, he wants to be near Jesus, yeah. Okay, so Peter follows, anyway, next thing please, right. And when they came, when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them, right. Now, the buildings had sort of central courtyards, that's the way they constructed them then. We tend to have a garden and a house, but they have a sort of garden-y thing in the middle quite often. Well, there's a courtyard there, and of course, it's night time. Cold. Do you know it gets cold in Jerusalem? Yes. And so, I don't know, some people don't think that, you know. It's Middle East, it must be sunshine all the time, but it gets cold. It gets cold in Jerusalem. So there's a fire. Question, just how do they light the fire? Do they have stones and flint or stuff like that, or whatever, or they had a a flame going somewhere else that they used, I don't know. Anyway, all very interesting, you know. It was cold, but it says they sat down to warm themselves at the fire. Peter sits down with them. How did Peter get in? Do you know? It's a courtyard, remember? There's a gate to get through. How did Peter get in?
He went through with them.
He went through with... No, he didn't go through with them. He went through with John. John had a fish business with the high priest, it would seem. He supplied fish to the authorities. So John was known by the authorities, and so John got Peter in. Yeah? So Peter gets in, and he goes and joins with them. Now there's... hard to try and understand quite what's going on in this situation. Was Peter in the right place?
Yes.
Was he in the right place? Yes and no. Because he's in the most dangerous place as well. He wants to be near Jesus. I think that's partly what's going on. To find out what's going on. But he's putting himself in a very dangerous situation. And the reason I put that is, he's trying to fit in. He's joined the crowd. Yeah, we can join. What people do you mix with? What are the groups that you are involved with that might get you into trouble? That's the problem. You know, it's your friends. Can be not the good friends you need. Right, so you've got to pick the right ones. Just remember that, yeah? I know. Good friends can really be great, yes. But you get... We hear this about young people all the time. He got with the wrong crowd. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Peter's with the wrong crowd in that sense, yeah. He's going to get himself into trouble, as we know he does, right? So, but the danger of trying to fit in. You know, Christian, you can't fit in. You're different. And the sooner the world gets to know that, and you let your mates know that, the better. Because they may be more scared of you than you are of them. So, Peter, what a shame. Right, so, a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. Right, now, it's like, can you imagine this girl? Yeah, the firelight is lighting up Peter's face, and she comes up and peers at him, you know, and he does this with his hoodie, right, to hide. I'm sure he's doing that, you know. Yeah. He doesn't want to be recognised, he doesn't want to be seen. And she doesn't talk to Peter. Yeah. She's talking to the rest of the guys there. She looks at him and sits, spills the beans, as we say. Yeah. He was with him! Right? Now, how about that? Peter was scared at that point. And interestingly enough, here's macho Peter, fisherman man. Right? I'm sure he got muscles as big as, you know, any of these others. You don't. Wimps don't go fishing on the Sea of Galilee, I can assure you. He's a strong guy, and yet this little girl frightens him to death. See how the enemy works? He comes in at the odd corners, you know. Doesn't come straight on, he comes through the back door. Yeah? And so this off-chance little girl says, he was with him. That's got him number one. Right, next one, please. So what does he do? But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. Right. Caught off guard. That's how it works. Things catch you off guard. Have you ever done it? You've said something you shouldn't have when someone's just dropped something on you. You know, you've done something you shouldn't when somebody just dropped something on you. Well, Peter's like you and me, yeah? So, he got caught off guard. Shame. And he denies knowing this Jesus, yeah? Caught off guard, yes. Interestingly, what has Peter just gone and done, though? He's spoken, he's denied Jesus, but he denied him with a Galilean accent. Right? It's a giveaway. See, what do you do when you get into those places? You start digging holes for yourself. And the more you do, the hole gets bigger. And so, he denies him once. Right. Next thing, please. Right. A little time later, someone else saw him and said, you're also one of them. Man, I'm not. I suspect he'd got up, moved away a bit by then. Not too far, because it's cold, yeah? But he moved away from the crowd, covered his head a bit more, maybe something like that. Now. Yeah. But someone else spots him, and they say, hey, you're one of them, one of his, yes? So he speaks again, just to confirm he's a northerner. Right, right. But the question is this, and Jean, my wife and I, were talking about this. It's good to talk about the Bible together in families. I hope you do sometimes, yeah? But we were talking about it. Why didn't Peter remember what Jesus had said? Why didn't he?
He was too frightened at the time.
Too frightened?
He was sure he wouldn't have done it, right?
And it just, I think when Jesus warned him, he thought, I shan't do this, so it went out of his mind.
Yeah.
Never thought about, never gave it a second thought, no, not me, right? But the other thing, that's one of the things, I'm sure you're right there, yeah? But the other thing to my mind is that when your mind is in a whirl, he's frightened now, yeah? When all the things are going round and round and round, the most important bits get left out. Do you find that? Maybe it's just me, you know. I think of my brain as a Tesco conveyor belt, you know. Right? It keeps going, it drops off the end. Things come on the one end and they drop off the other. Well, I'm sure that Peter's so active with it, worrying about things, oh dear, how do I get out, or whatever, things like that. I don't know what he was thinking, but he wasn't thinking about what Jesus said. And so he's in trouble. That's a danger, right? So he's denied Jesus twice, and it hasn't really popped into his head. Jesus has warned him of that. Next slide, please. About an hour later, calm down, right? Yes. That's interesting. The devil gives you a quiet moment or two. Mm-hmm. Why? To get you off guard again. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's okay now. Right? But it's not okay. He's waiting. Right? So, an hour later, another researcher, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Well, yes, Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, but he does. Yeah, he's a Galilean. Right? They know he's a Galilean because he's talked. He's talked too much. Right? But the thing about it is, there probably weren't too many Galileans in the little crowd where he was. Yeah. And they knew that Jesus was from Galilee, and he's part of the Galilean sound. Maybe he's one of them. He's got to be, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Right. So, his accent gave him away. Well, brothers and sisters, let's make that positive. Does your accent give you away? And I don't mean which part of the country you come from. I mean the way you talk. Do other people know you're one of his? And they should. They should. You're one of his, by the way you talk. Well, it got Peter into trouble at that point. Might get you into trouble as well, but never mind. Okay, so, there's a stranger in town. They recognise this chap with a funny accent. Right? But it's all about him, not about Jesus, yeah. That's what he's thinking about when he says, I don't know what you're talking about. He's thinking about himself. He's not thinking about this Jesus, yeah. Right, next slide, please. Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed.
Yeah, yeah.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, right. So, what time is it?
Day
four's morning, isn't it? Yes. Yes. So, time's up, Peter, I'm afraid. Yeah. But the thing is, the cock crowed, and we're told, in that passage that we just read, that Peter still hadn't made the connection between the cock crow and his denying Jesus. It's when he saw it, as we'll see, yeah. But he hadn't got in when the cockerel crowed, didn't make any impression on him, yeah, yeah. So when your mind's all churning, like I said, things get lost. So, poor old Peter, he's just denied Jesus again, he's thinking more about, I'm in trouble, yeah, right, what they're going to do to me. Not so much what I've done to Jesus, but what they do to me, right. And so, cockerel doesn't make any impression on him. Right, next one, please. Right. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. So Jesus heard the cockerel too.
Yes.
Jesus is in another part of the courtyard. Apparently, from what I can understand, there's the balcony where Jesus was up there being beaten up and messed around with and questioned and so on by the authorities. And down in the courtyard, which could look down from the balcony, so Peter looks up, Jesus looks down, and their eyes meet. Yes. So, question, doesn't say, what? What did Peter see in the look? I told you so. No, I don't think he did. Right. Sorrow. Peter. It could be, I told you so, but not, I told you so. I told you so. Yeah, but Peter needs to see something else. Sorrow. Yeah. I'm not rejecting you, Peter. I said it would happen. It's happened. That's not the end of the match. Yeah. Right, so the love that Jesus, I think, was a look of love, a look of forgiveness and acceptance, in spite of what Peter had done. Yeah? So Jesus is looking at Peter with compassion. What's Peter looking at? Jesus. What do you see in Peter's eyes? Guilt, shame, sorrow, fear, I guess, as well. What have I done, right? But the interesting thing is, he was there. I know it got him into trouble, but being there got him to look at Jesus.
Yes.
That's the thing he needed, right? Because I suspect he'd have denied Jesus in other places, but where he is now, he looks at Jesus. What's that tell you about Peter?
He's seeking,
yeah. Jesus is, for all that Peter's done, Jesus is the centre of this man's heart. Right? So he's looking in the right direction when Jesus smiles on him, as it were, I suppose, yeah? Right? Look at disappointment, perhaps, but there's love there. Next then, please. Right. Then Peter remembered, just then, after Jesus has looked at him, right? Then he remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the cock crows today, you'll disown me 3 times. Right? Isn't it funny that things come back to you at some funny times? Yeah. Right? Just then, not before then, you remember what Jesus had said. Wouldn't it do us a lot of good if you remember what Jesus said before? Well, work on it, brothers and sisters. Yeah? You know, learning scripture can be very helpful to that respect. Yeah? To learn a few passages that just encourage you, if you're reading your Bible and there's a little bit that speaks to you, memorise it. Right? Get it in your head, because it will do you good and it may be just what you need at the right time. I used the illustration before. A footballer does not learn the rules of the game as he's going out to the field. Right? He needs to know them before he's on the field. You need to know your defence strategies before you face the battle. So, if Jesus gives you something, take it to heart and make sure you've got it in there. Because it would have defended Peter if you'd taken note of it. But something we may have heard may not seem important at the time. If it's from Jesus, let me tell you, it's important.
Yeah.
Right. Next then, please. He went outside, this is our last one, well, not quite, one more to come. He went outside and wept bitterly. Wow. A grown man weeping. Nothing wrong with tears. Not British, is he? Yeah. But he's weeping. Yeah, and well mighty weep. Yeah, right. He's seriously upset. Yeah. Have you ever failed and let someone down? Yeah. It's sad. Right. He wept. It was just. It really blown it, I suppose. But the question I've put there, which is the really important one, we know why he's weeping, because he's messed up big time. He's let Jesus down. But what does it say about Peter's heart? Is he weeping? The question I've got in my mind is this. Is Peter weeping because he's just messed it all up?
No,
or is he weeping, I've let down the one I love the most?
Yes.
I think that's what's going on there, isn't it? Yeah? That's opened the fountain in his heart, really. Yeah? I've let down the one I love the most. So it tells us, he's going to be on the way back sometime soon. Because his heart with the Lord is still there. Right? The fact that he wept bitterly. I don't read about Judas weeping.
No.
Yeah? He was upset. He was sad. He was really angry and sad. And all that about what had happened. I betrayed an innocent man, he says. Yeah? But Peter weeps because he's broken inside because of what he's done. Right? It was good for Peter to go through that.
Yes.
Yeah, he had to learn. Yes.
And I think we all will have to go through that ourselves.
We do, yes, yeah.
To be
broken
in that way.
Right. So, yeah, God has to work in us, some more than others, perhaps, to change the way we are. But, you know, Peter's a different man. So I've got a few conclusions, perhaps, to draw from this passage to think about it. So next and last one, please, yeah. Number one is, if you give a pointing finger at Peter, don't judge him. Because perhaps we might have been there too, and if you have been there too, you might well be there too sometime. Right? So, don't judge him, but watch and pray, that's the point. Yeah? Keep your guard up, dear friends. I'm sorry, that's part of the way we have to live. You know, and also pray for others. Pray for those that you feel are being vulnerable and weak and in dangerous situations, you know. Pray for them. Yeah, as well as for others. Yeah, and for yourself. Yeah. The other thing which is wonderful, I think, is repentance leads to restoration. There's the arrows for you, yeah? Like Peter's brokenness is preparing the way for Peter's restoration. But also, Peter's brokenness is preparing the way for making Peter stronger. Yeah? He's not going to be depending on Peter quite so much in the future. Right? More on what his Lord has said to him. Yeah? So that's that, right. And then lastly, out of all of this passage, you know, God is so merciful. I mean, how many leaders, people in high places, if one of their workers did what Peter did to Jesus, they'd be out on their ear, wouldn't they? Wouldn't get any more chances. End of game, that's it, yeah? But God takes this Peter, because he's shaping him quite clear that he wants him to be, to make him the man he wants him to be. Right? And God will use those things, the trials you go through, the attacks that Satan brings on you, to make you stronger. Yes? As we trust the Lord, I'm no doubt you'll fail, but what's the recipe for failure is repentance leads to restoration. Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Yeah? Help me to do it better next time. And Jesus has promised he's going to fight with us against our sins. He's not fighting against you with your sins. He's fighting with you against your sins. Remember that. It's important. So, God is merciful. I'm so glad. Yeah. I look at Peter and I think, wow. If you'd have been in his place, would you have done any differently? I don't know. Yeah. But let me tell you this. It probably would have been different if you'd have been in Peter's place. Because the devil knows your weaknesses as well as Peter's. And he'd have played it differently. You'd probably come a cropper just like him anyway. Yeah. So, let's thank God he's so merciful. Yeah. He doesn't give up on us, even if we let him down sometimes. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, for what we see of your grace in your dealing with this man. In a situation where he got himself into a bit of a problem, Lord. And he didn't believe what you said. Perhaps, Lord, if he'd said, well, Lord, you say I'm going to deny you. I'm sure I can, Lord. Will you stop me doing it? Lord, but he thought he was all right. Forgive us, Lord, when we go into our self-sufficiency mode. Have mercy on us. And Lord, thank you that there is forgiveness with you. Lord, what a wonderful Saviour. And thank you, Jesus, you look at us when we failed you and let you down. If we could just look into your face, we'd see what Peter saw. Perhaps sadness at our failure, but love wanting to restore us. Thank you, Jesus. You're the best. You're the best, Lord. And we give you praise. Amen.